Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Welcome to Spanish Aquí Presents. The whole crew is here, and that includes, but not limited to myself, Carlos, Fraiza, Oscar, and Tony. I think I'm using that right. I think that's how you use it.
I modeled once for them.
Sponsoring this episode today.
Do you guys remember what still was around?
I had sisters. Yes, I definitely. Yeah. Very familiar with that.
Oh, I was a big Contemple Casual Wetzel wear. That's where the tube tops were purchased, baby.
Sorry. What would you say is the vibe of Contemple Casuals?
Oh my God.
Black and white.
I just think they're like, it's just grunge 90s, like pop singer, vibe. And then Wetzel was that.
Natalie and Bruglia.
Yeah. But then Wetzel was like that. But Wetzel was like, we also have business suits. where I was like, what? It was very super sexy and bling and glitter and all whatever was in style. They had it, and they had the coolest versions, these two stores always. And I remember, I don't know if you remember this, Tony. Do you remember Miracle Center in Miami?
Claro que sí.
Okay, bueno, yeah. Okay, mucha gente no. So I live right by Miracle Center. And I remember I would go there. That was this little mall in Miami, by Coral Gables, Coral Way, whatever area by my house.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was a cool mall because it had Contemple and it also had Wetzel. And it was hard to find one that had both of them.
Remember the stores. I remember the architecture. I remember this is a gorgeously designed building.
Didn't it have painted on the ceilings or something crazy?
For a mall, it was beautiful.
They commissioned paintings.
But it also kind of looked like an aquarium sometimes. Oh. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You're really painting a picture of this place.
It's so weird. Yeah. What?
Yeah. And my librarian from first grade through eighth grade, she worked at the movie theater on the weekends selling tickets. Oh. And she was, oh my God, why can't I think of her name from St. Peter and Paul? I hope somebody from SPPS listens to this and reminds me. But she was a super beautiful, I loved her, older lady. She was probably in her late 80s, just still being a library teacher. And she worked in the movie theater, and we would be embarrassed when we would buy tickets that were rated R and we had to buy them from her. So the parents would come and buy it, and they'd be like, and she'd be like, are you going by yourself or are your parents going with you? And then she'd see us in school. Anyways,
and then you go,
stop that.
We're in the library. I mean, honestly, there's a lesson to be learned in all this is we got to pay our teachers more.
Yes. You know what? Yeah. It's so funny you say that, because then when I was in high school, that is literally when we would talk about her, reminisce about her, my friends, we're older and we would be like, oh, fuck.
You had so many side hustles.
Yeah, that. But then I don't know, though. Maybe she did it because se entretene,
She was an entrepreneurial. An entrepreneurial.
And mira, if I'm a retiree and I need a little side gig, in vez de working at Publix, I got to be
You just sell R-rated tickets to children, sure.
Yeah. No, she wasn't selling them. The parents would buy it. No, the parents would buy it. But then she'll be like, but are they coming in with you? She knew our trick. She knew. She knew our trick.
She knew our trick.
Anyways.
Lovely. Okay, wait. I have just one more side topic question and a quick answer.
Hot topic.
We don't need to delve into this so hard. But what was your first R-rated movie that you saw?
Oh, I remember. Scream.
Oh. I was going to say
in the theater.
Yeah,
just in general.
No,
bro.
My sister Lara. It took me and my little brother, and I was terrified. And they weren't supposed to say that we went. Because my parents were out of town and they were taking care of us. My sister, Lara and Dania, and we went with them and their boyfriends and all their friends. And I came home and my brother just terrified. He kept scaring me for weeks because I was, and then I finally had to say it. And they got in, or they found out that they took us on, they got in trouble, I think, or something. Because I was terrified.
I, I mean, the question is very weird for me because I feel like in the 80s, it didn't really matter. People would just watch everything.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I could go as far as I could try to remember, but I remember watching like Total Recall with my dad and then like not understanding anything, but remembering the three breasts. Like, and I was probably like,
the three breasts?
Oh yeah, my God, Risa. It's like the thing to know about Total Recall.
I don't think I've seen that.
But I remember like all these like Robocop, like I watched them as a
Terminator.
Child, like, all Terminator,
like James Cameron movies, Aliens.
Yeah, all of those movies were rated R. Technically, there wasn't like I don't think. So I don't even know what like.
But in the theater, right? Is that what you're asking, Oscar?
Yeah. Well, or, like, and what theater wise? What was the first R-rated movie that you saw, Carlos?
Name movies, and I probably saw them. I don't know. I just feel like. I mean, I will say that as soon as I turned 16, I went to see Wild Things.
Oh, that was a good one.
I went to high school with a girl who's in that.
A group of people, and we went to see Wild Things, and that was like the coolest thing. I was like, oh, I'll take it for Wild Things. Yes, I am of age.
Yeah.
My friend in Miami is in that, and it's her birthday today. She's like in a pool scene. I remember saying, I felt like she was like,
wait,
you're famous. Wild Things.
The famous pool thing?
The famous pool thing is not
only three people thing.
Yeah.
But also his friend diagram, because Nev Campbell scream Wild Things, and that's how you do it.
Oh, look at that. Oh,
Mia.
It was meant to be.
To me, she was famous.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. No. I was just wondering, because like in the...
There's no famous...
They do have that scene where they kiss in the pool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's okay. Oh, wow. Oh. That's cool. What about you, Oscar and Tony?
For me, I saw Desperado. The Antonio Banderas movie, Robert Rodriguez movie. I snuck out of Mortal Kombat to see Desperado. Because Mortal Kombat was PG-13, and I was like, I think I was a little too young to watch Mortal Kombat, but I was like, I'm going to go see this action movie. And I loved it. Ooh, I loved it. And then I snuck into R-rated movies ever since. It was really easy
in my theater. Hop as
it
well.
It was easy. Nobody really...
Yeah, nobody cared. Mm-hmm. My first... I think my first R-rated movie was part of a double feature because I theater hop. This is the worst double feature in history.
Oh, God.
There's something
Mary. I bet you I can tell that. Okay, go ahead.
There's something about Mary followed by Saving Private Ryan.
Oh.
That's funny.
That's really good.
The worst pairing ever.
It's really like, it's like what is worse to watch?
Damn,
before or after?
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. I saw a double feature with Casper.
Oh.
And Species. Do you remember the movie Species?
Yeah, 95, baby.
Oh, yeah.
I love Casper.
Summer of 95.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. If I'm not
mistaken. But listen, we're not here to talk about movies.
Yeah, we're talking about our que te pica.
I think you have a pica ready for
us. Yeah, we were talking about relationships at some point, and I think that there are a lot of opinions about what things that you should do before you commit to somebody, i.e. Meet the family, or move in together, or spend time sexually, stuff like that.
Sexually. Spend time sexually.
He was like, I know you were like, how do I say this?
But
this is how it's coming
y'all
out.
Y'all got a book. But but I think the prevailing thing for me that I'm trying to, the point that I think is most important is that I don't think you should really put all your eggs in one basket with somebody until you take a road trip. And not just travel. I mean, travel is important, but like you need to find out if you can survive being in a close quarters for an indeterminate amount of time in a place that you're not comfortable with, or you're not not comfortable, but not familiar with is the word.
Ooh.
Either way, traveling, we can open it up to discussions, but I feel like that the taking a road trip somewhere that's long. In a car or...
You can't fly? You can't fly?
Yeah. Like close quarters.
Oh, okay.
So you're saying the proximity is the essential element here.
The proximity is essential, but here's why I think road trips, I think, encapsulates everything because if you're flying, you're just flying, right? Somebody's taking you. When you're driving somewhere, you have to account for directions. You have to account for pee breaks and eating. There's a lot of stuff that you can't just like sit and wake up in the place. Like when you road trip in a car, for the most part, There's a big interactive element to it that really reveals a lot about a person. So that's really where I wanted to go with it.
I would like to say, though, I do think, though, that traveling on planes with your significant other, if it's just like you two like doing a trip, is still at least feels, at least to me, like maybe not as much time in close quarters, but still, because like you have to deal with like, you know, going through the TSA and like, or
the
this,
before
and then the process and how you walk, how fast you walk, and this person, and if how you interact with this person and the, you know, whatever, which I feel like is a whole is another thing that like you get to like observe the person or yourself even like, because there's probably things that like we do when we travel by ourselves that we would never do with like our partner, maybe, who knows.
Like, for give me an example, Reza.
Like, okay, I mean, okay, well, this isn't me, but.
Sure.
No.
This isn't for the sake of argument. It's not you, but okay.
For the sake of, let's call her Rozo.
Rizo.
I swear. Okay. No, it's actually, it's not me. And I'm saying this because.
Keep saying it.
Okay. Because I was talking to my friend about it and she was like shook that I like, I'm so comfortable. Like I sleep with my mouth guard in the plane because I grind my teeth. Right. So like I have to, I take it everywhere. Like I'm the kind of girl, like if we're dating and I, at some, and once I start going to your house after, or like, we're like a little bit more, like I've got to bring my mouth guard. Like you have to see me in that because I have friends that like also have retainers or mouth guards or like whatever, like different things that, for their mouth that they're embarrassed to like wear or put on in public in front of a guy or girl, whoever, whatever. Mm-hmm. And like when I was telling her that like I do it like on the plane, and they were like, oh my God, qué pena, like you do that with like your boyfriend too. And I was like, well, yeah, we've only traveled a couple times, but also or even somebody else before I had done it, you know, with previous boyfriends or whatever. But I'm just like, why is that so bad? To me, I was like, why is that so bad? Like my teeth hurt if I don't wear it. Like, and they were like, no. Like I have to have makeup on and all this stuff. And I'm like, bro, like we're just two different people. So that's why I was like, oh, okay. But I don't know.
All right. So that's more like an insecurity thing for some people that they feel like they can't be practical in a traveling situation.
Exactly. Yeah. Like you feel like you have to like, I know people that they put on more of like, okay, well, my outfit has to be cuter than just sweatpants. Or, okay, like, I have to, like, brush my hair and all these things. And I'm like, I personally don't
relate
to that.
I have to shower.
Like, yeah, whatever. And I'm just like, I'm lazy, whatever. But I get the difference of it, I guess. I don't know. What do you guys...
So have you guys had, like, pretty outstanding and or terrible situations where you were with somebody and the trip soured that a view of them?
I don't think I don't travel. I said that I don't travel at all. I've never really traveled with with a partner. Besides, I mean, we did go on a trip together.
We did go to San Francisco in January 2019 for the
And honestly, this is the longest relationship I've ever been in. So,
oh, wow.
I'm kidding. It's not. But I mean, it's like I'm dating all of y'all. So
you had a 7-year because I remember you mentioning it.
I did have. Thank you. Fact checker. Thank you.
You're welcome.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't know how it is with the like relationships. It is. I think the thing that I would compare it to, it's like when this isn't me. I'm not, this isn't me.
Okay. This is not a personal story.
Yeah.
Oscar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oscar. I hate you guys.
But it is this, a friend was talking about this and talking about.
Oh my God.
Well, she was talking about like, how long do I wait until I show my partner what I look like without any makeup on? Do you know what I mean? And it's an interesting thing because it's like, oh, I want, because I never even think about that kind of stuff, you know?
Neither.
And, but she's like, yeah, like I have a different face when I have makeup on. And then like, that's a big ass step when I am like, this is what I look like without makeup on. And it, that might change things because she's has dated people that have coincidentally ended things
after
when that's
her face.
I mean, that's not what they said, but she was very much like, you know, I put 1+1 and it was very, you know what I mean?
Are you serious?
It happens a lot. It happens a lot. So it's sort of like, am I willing to show a part of myself that I've been trying to hide from this person for a while? you know?
Yes. Well, that's why I was thinking of the plane thing, because like for me, like I said, like I'm very like, I don't care. Like I need to feel comfortable. Like I'm not trying to make somebody else feel comfortable while I'm mm-hmm. on a plane for 5.5 hours or whatever that is, or in a car trip or whatever. But I guess that does make sense. That's interesting. Yeah.
Wild. I heard that. I mean, this feels like a whole different pika about somebody like literally afraid to show the real face.
But I think it's the same thing. In my opinion, because yeah. it isn't, because you're in a car with somebody. It's not like you can go on your own. You are forced with
right.
someone that potentially could get on your nerves. You might discover yeah. like, oh my God, this person like
ticks
does this. Yeah. Has habits. Like this weird thing that I didn't know. Cause like mm-hmm. when you're dating someone at the very beginning, you have that honeymoon stage, you know,
yes.
you're in this yeah. romance level. Also, you're sort of, and this is like my big issue with like just dating in general, you're sort of performing for someone. It's right. sort of like you're on your best behavior, showing them like your best light. But there comes a time if you dated long enough where they're going to have to see you're ugly. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
They're going to have to see your warts a little
yeah.
bit, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I can tell you some things that I've been told that are annoying from different people. You want to hear?
Wait,
like, you could say it to someone else.
Right? Yeah,
you could say
it to
this other person.
No, about no, it's Rizo? About me. No, it's about yeah, me. Rizo. It's about me. It's not about Rosa. It's about Raisa. Okay, so I had a person be annoyed because, okay, so I pee a lot. You guys all know this. I talk mm-hmm. about it so much. Like
constantly, I would say. Yeah.
You're peeing right now. It's weird.
Yeah. Like in Florida, you know, you drive a lot to different places. Like it's one of those like states where you can easily go somewhere just in a couple hours or whatever it is. Just like California, I feel like is some, you know, there's different adventures. There's not a lot of places like that pop out other than California, Florida. Anyways. And I feel like they would get annoyed because we had to stop so much for me to pee. And it was like, and then it was like, well, don't drink that much water. Kind of. And I'm like, well, I don't like, I'm thirsty. So like, I got to drink water. But like, also like, I can't control, like if I got to pee, which I was like, that, like, I think is another thing that makes me think of like, you know, like sometimes you kind of learn about people's like health stuff while traveling with them. Like maybe they get nauseous. Maybe you're like, fuck, I can't go with this person in the car for 4 hours because they get nauseous and they want to throw up or whatever and things like that. So like, that's something interesting that like, and I also like noticed that with another partner where like, they used to get sued, like they had to drive. And it was kind of annoying because like sometimes like I want to drive, but they had to drive because if not, they were like bored if they sat on the passenger side and then they couldn't be on their phone while I drove or somebody else drove. And then they like couldn't read or do anything. And it was like really annoying because I was like, fuck, like I can barely drive. Like I get to drive like un poquito because it was when they would take a nap maybe or something like that. So like that was something. And then another thing that has been told to me is that I walk too fast and I walk like to an angle, I guess, sometimes, which I don't notice. I don't know. Like, I think sometimes.
You're like a chessboard? You're like a chess piece?
Yes. Yes. Like, I think that like I just, I disregard like.
I don't know enough about chess to tell you what piece is the one that does it.
Me neither. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. So like, but to be fair, like I kind of do that. And I kind of was like, oh, I guess I have to focus on how I walk. Like sometimes. I don't know, guys. It's hard when you have ADHD and you don't have Adderall and to control it. It's like...
I feel like the walking thing is just something that you have regardless of whether you're traveling
like,
or not.
Yeah, it's like, what does this have to... Okay.
Yeah.
And, thank you for...
And the walking fast?
Being candid with us, I guess.
It was your turn this episode to just really unload. Just
take that weight because off your shoulders. You're walking like in like a resort.
You're walking fast, but at an angle.
Okay, in New York, you have to walk like specifically. Like you can't just walk however you want.
Correct.
You just walk into traffic. I don't understand if you're walking.
No, like the thing is like okay, because in Miami we don't really walk places in Miami. Oh, like people don't do that.
You only go a certain distance, and then you're like your body's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, we don't care about stoplights, red. We just go whatever. So like I think in New York I had to figure it out. I'd be like, oh. I gotta look up, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, anyways.
I get that.
Okay.
Wow.
Tony, top it.
I can't. I don't have any friends who have ever complained. That I've ever been complained about me by my travel habits. I walk like a rook on a chessboard, I guess.
Okay. Wow. That goes straight. Straight?
Sure. Super straight.
Super straight. Okay. All right.
I almost got Oscar to cover his face. Sometimes I'm going for that. I want him to be like the brother. Oh,
wait. So you've never gone on a trip and like had an argument about something trip-wise, not like, well, I know you were texting, or like not something that could have gotten in a, you couldn't have gotten in a fight with, or in your homes or your city or whatever.
I got in a huge fight one time over the dumbest thing. My significant other at the time could not, by the law, by any metric, do parallel parking. She couldn't parallel park to save her life.
Yeah.
And I got to a point where it was like, let me just do it.
Yeah.
And it was the one of the biggest, and it was a road trip. It was actually a road trip. That was like the last straw and something that we started fighting about. But it was like literally something where it was like, it kept happening enough that we needed to parallel park, and it would just take like 20 extra steps. She just didn't have a handle on it. What do I you know, I don't know what to tell you guys. So people can parallel park.
Where in the road trip was this? Towards the beginning, like the middle, or the end?
Middle, at some point, middle, like towards the middle end.
What was there?
And it was something as dumb as, I think, that se caía de culo, like she could do it. She could do it. She could do it. But she couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, and I'm like, it would just be so much easier if we could just be on our way. If I could just get out of the car and let me just.
But they were like,
car.
No, I can do
yeah,
it.
I can do it. It's like, well, objectively, you can't, because you're still your butt. The car's butt is out on the lane. So like, it would. That my point is, like, these are things that, like, you would, like, in paper, it doesn't make any sense to fight over.
But I just thought of something, Carlos.
What?
When you're talking about this, in my mind, I can totally see, like, the rest of the evening derail. Like, let's say you were going to a dinner, right? Like in a relationship, like a romantic relationship, those little things are like mirrors into everything else, right? Like in my experience, those little arguments, which is nothing, let's say it's truly nothing, it would derail the evening. Versus with a friend, like you have that argument, it maybe annoys you, but you do shake it off because otherwise you know the evening's going to be ruined, right? Yeah. Or whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
And I've been single for a long time now, and I feel like I don't know if I can go back to like being partnered where those things are magnified, those little moments,
because you can't escape it, because it you don't get to walk your separate ways. You're still like in it together.
Oh yeah.
But well, I think it's the thing. It just adds up, and then you have the window of tolerance starts to get smaller and smaller and smaller.
I think that's it. It's like your tolerance level gets a little, because you're again, because you're trapped with them for the whole duration of the trip, you know?
I mean,
because it doesn't end after you get out of the car, then the trip starts. So, you know, you're sort of screwed.
Yes. Well, especially, okay, here's another thing about this. So I was with someone that was, they traveled a lot for work. They had traveled a lot prior for work and, you know, whatever, just like they traveled a lot. They were on planes a lot. So they felt like they had all the hot tips, which is great. You do have the hot tips because you're doing it way more than me, right? But like for example, like I, like we got it, like we would get in, we got into a fight because they were like, okay, go on this side, go on this line of whatever for the security check, and I was like, I think that one's gonna go faster. No, go on this one, and I was like, their response was, there's no women and there's no babies, because like kids and like when there's babies or kid, like that takes more work, like for them to like take the stuff out, whatever, and that apparently that women have way more stuff because like our jewelry, whatever, our purse, da da da, whatever. So I was right. The one that I was like, I looked at the person, I was like, watch, they're gonna clear first. And we were like running late, so we were already like, tension was high. And like, it was one of those things that it's like, oh my God, I had to hold it in so hard to not be like, well, we would have been past, when we were like still like waiting to like unload and put it in the little like thing or whatever that moves. And it's just like, those little things are like, it just, because like sometimes you like, I don't have to deal with that person, him telling me, oh, well, like I know that stuff because like I travel more than you, kind of thing. Because if you're not traveling, then you don't have to deal with that. You just hear them when they come back. Oh, yeah, blah, blah, whatever. But it's like, that was an interesting thing for me to have to deal. And like, everything is like, oh, no. Like, trust me, put your thing up. And I was like, bro, I was like, motherfucker, like, I have never traveled before. Like, I've been out of the country more than you. You just have been traveling more than me. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it was just like, I felt that. And like, I don't know. I just, I feel like I do see that energy a lot. Men.
If you're dealing with people that are control freaks, if you're dealing with people that are only conducing a certain way, and then you're also adding to the mix arrogance, what am I looking for? Ego, where it's like, you can't accept when something's like, you know, like That's a big bomb.
Yeah.
But then again, it's like you might not even know. You might not even know that this person has an ego or anything like that. Like
until
that moment, and then it's too late, honey. Then it's too late.
You're like, oh no! I just saw him without makeup in his face.
Oh my God!
But I will say because a lot of people are like, I'm going to take responsibility and I'm going to be the other person in the scenario, the person who like. People mm-hmm. talk about because I know
that
there are people that will be like, oh God, Oscar is not. I'm going to say this right now and I'm going to be very honest. I'm not a fun person to get on road trips with 100%. And I'll tell you why, because a lot of people assume that I'm like a fun, good time. They're like, oh, yeah, Oscar will be a fun person on the road trip. But y'all know. I am. Quiet. I am mm-hmm. very quiet. I'm very in like my own brain space. I'm totally just like, and then people are so shook by the fact that I am just like quiet. They're like, why aren't you not entertaining me right now? And I'm like, first of all, I get motion sick in a car. So like, if I'm not like pumped up with Dramamine, I will be throwing up every 10 seconds and Dramamine makes you sleepy. So I am just over to Boney. Done. Yeah. I'm sorry?
Bonine. What is that one doesn't make you sleepy.
That's true.
It's chewable. Okay.
Dramamine definitely works for me. So I'm sticking with Dramamine.
Oh, no. Also, I think you just want to be sleepy. You want to have that. You want
exactly,
to have that.
Exactly. Yeah. As a shield. I don't need to.
He's owning it.
Yeah, I'm owning it. Like, I don't need to. You know,
I take NyQuil. Oh, okay. I have nothing to do with it, but all right. Fine. NyQuil.
No, but I think I think it surprises people that I'm an introvert, you know what
right.
I mean?
They assume that you're the life of the party or that you're entertainment, that performance mm-hmm. car. I call that the teen wolf syndrome. They only see you as the wolf.
Ooh, yeah.
I mentioned this before. And they don't accept you as Michael J. Fox.
I mean, I get it. Yeah. Well, I'm really good at chatting people up and keeping them awake, but then
yeah, you did.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but I did.
He literally talked the entire
the
way
time.
Up to San Francisco.
Fuck yeah, because
we left
because,
in the middle of the night.
You guys passed out. Yeah.
Well, because I you have to understand too, like I have family members, like a distant family member that they're like the person that was driving them fell off like a cliff, literally in a movie, and like two of the kids died, like it, like some crazy shit. Man. Not to like get dark, so like I think that like ever since I heard that story, I was like, I always want to be awake as much as possible if we're mm-hmm. gonna drive at night, or like mm-hmm. no shade to Carlitos, but it's not like I go in the car with you on road trips a lot, so like I don't know how you drive. Like I'm not controlling about that, but I just wanted to stay awake. It was dark and late, but I am very good at like, I'll drink a Red Bull and stay up. Like I'll pull through. I'll take the L or whatever that is for the team. Mm-hmm. But in regards to what Oscar's saying, it's interesting because a lot of times I do kind of want to be quiet and just like read a book or listen to something or watch something or whatever. But I feel like people also want me to like, quote unquote, perform and keep them engaged while we're driving mm-hmm. for 6 hours mm-hmm. from like Miami to Gainesville or whatever that is. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Yeah, I think the big thing is just like recognize. I mean, like, I think Carlos is right to bring it back to the pica at hand. Yeah. It's like, this is a huge element where you are faced with finding some ugly truths about your friends or your mm-hmm. or the people that you're dating, you know, mm-hmm. but you have to be ready for it. I think it is like this idea of like, OK, well, this isn't going to be cute, but it's something worth knowing about somebody, you know?
Oh, and I should say that we did kind of have a forced road trip in this pandemic. So that was the equivalent without going on a trip. So a lot of people had to live with somebody.
That's very true.
So they had that experience, which is similar to road trip. The only difference is that we don't have, hopefully, we don't have to deal with more pandemics in that sense. So that kind of similar thing that we're talking about just happened to a lot of people the last year. But for the most part, these are the conditions that really kind of show you your character for the most part.
Yeah. And I think like to add another layer to it really quick, like when you are traveling with a significant other, road trip or not, or vacation or whatever, when it's like you're going to like their families or vice versa, whatever, vice versa. Like you, if you're in a fight, it's so fucking awkward or like whatever. If like you guys got off the plane and you're in a little bit of a tiff because of whatever stupid, then it like adds that extra layer of having to perform that you're fine in front of them until like, okay, this is the room you're staying in. You close the door and you're like, yeah, you know what I mean? Because like, I've been there many times with different partners, like significant others, whatever. But like, it's just like one of those things that like, I do think like, yeah, like eventually like, it's very important. I agree with Carlitos. I think it's a huge thing. Like plan something, even if it's a fucking weekend to like a staycation place that's a couple hours away from wherever you live. Like if you're in LA, go to Joshua Tree, go to Palm Springs, Santa Barbara. I mean, I wouldn't put that like, but like experience that for sure. Because I think it is so, so, so important. And also like, you know, shit happens. Like fucking husbands and wives travel all the time with like 17 kids and like, like we can do it if they can.
Mm-hmm. but hey, until we can do that vacation, I think we can just take a cafecito break.
I'm so glad we did it. We did it and we solved it.
We solved it.
We solved it.
Just have a lot of sex on your vacation and make up for it. That's my advice.
That's Oscar's advice to everybody.
Just fuck a lot.
Slurp, slurp, slurp.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I got the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Slurp, 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 mi gente, we are back from our cafecito break with, oh my God, what a treat do we have today. Not one, but 2 crowns upon her head, Miss Congeniality from season 10 of RuPaul's Drag Race, and All-Star Winner from season 4. Oh my God, Monet Exchange. Hello.
Oh my God. Hello, Spanish Aki podcast. How are y'all doing? I'm very happy to be here.
Oh my God, so good. So excited to have you on.
Thank
you. I mean, how are you doing? The background right now, we have a lot of shoes in the background. And
I love shoes. I mean, I am the Imelda Marcos. Fuck Manila. I'm the Imelda Marcos of drag. You know what I mean? Love shoes.
Wow.
But also, I have like really big feet. So I order like anytime I see a shoe that I like, I always get it in a myriad of colors. And if I see something like super specific, I'll buy it, even though I don't have any intentions of ever wearing it, just because drag is that thing. Is like one day you will need a pink strappy shoe for a thing. And you're like, God damn it, why didn't I buy that shoe when I saw it? So like definitely even half of it. That's some of it. But I also have another thing with like boxes and boxes of shoes. It's kind of ridiculous. Honestly.
Really? It's like color coordinated too.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, because see, here's the thing. I'm very like OCD about certain things. Like I have to have like the little thin, and I have to have like the tube tops or the tank top, and then like the shirts, and then the button downs. Are you like that with your stuff?
I am, because I like organization. I like things. I like being able to find things. I do Sibling Rivalry, our podcast with Bob, and he is literally the opposite. He swears he knows where everything is, but he does not know. Bob is a fucking mess. But I know where every single one of my things are when I need them. I'm like, yes, Patty, go to the closet. It's in the top right corner with the blah, blah, blah. That's how I am with drag stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's so much.
I can see that. You're one of my favorite queens. To me, you are like the entire package. For me, first of all, sense of humor is for me like my favorite drag. But you also have the looks, the intelligence, the actual like music talent and ability on top of your looks, like just gorgeous. It's truly, truly, you are an iconic.
Thank you, Tony. At the beginning of the podcast, like, is there anything that you don't want to talk about? I was like, yeah, I don't talk about anything about drag. And Raisa was like,
I was like, okay. Well, okay, so Monet, so here's the thing. I've had to confess this twice to two other queens, and I get very red-faced, but I've never watched RuPaul's Drag Race. And wow, so I know. Listen, I get it, but it's okay because I've watched a lot of basketball. I feel like, you know, so like the boys watch the drag. I watch.
I feel basketball. Like drag. I guess drag queens are the basketball players of the queer space.
No. Well, I'm saying because
hoops,
like
there's hoops
like,
involved.
There's hoops. Oh my God, there is hoops.
There are balls.
There's balls. Oh my God, wait. What did I do without even trying to do
this? You did.
I was just gonna be like, I know, like, sports and they know drag, which is, I love it because it's like usually, you know, in the like world we live in, it's the opposite, you know,
like
stereotype. But yeah, I was also going to say you needed to add one more thing to what you were saying about Monet.
What?
She got the moves.
Oh, yes, of course. Yes, you got the moves.
What moves?
Let's talk about your
dance moves.
Yes, your dance moves. You have a single out.
I do.
Your song's been in my head all day. I love it so much. Love like this.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I don't think I've, and I know this is like, I think this is part of why you're doing it. But I don't know that, to my mind, I've never seen like an out performer or a drag performer doing reggae. It's such like a... It's refreshing, I have to say.
Yeah, well, you know, I grew up, my background, my family is from St. Lucia, and I grew up in St. Lucia for a big part of my life from the time I was like 1 to 10 years old. And reggae is like such like a big part of my family dynamic and like what, like my mom listened to, my parents, you know, everyone. So, but also reggae is also stereotypically and oftentimes very homophobic.
Yep.
In the lyrics and in the culture, you know what I mean? So I was like, you know, I want to make a fucking queer ass reggae song with a little R&B sprinkled in, and I think we succeeded. And I honestly, everyone I played it for really enjoys it, and people are really living for her, so I hope this is like a statement to the reggae community, to fucking Beanie Man, to fucking Elephant Man, all them, even the reggaeton artists too, bitch. Reggaeton and reggae is for queer people, honey.
Tell them. I am so happy that you said that, because I literally was gonna say that's something that I love, reggaeton. Like I love it a lot. I've been dancing, you know, like listening to it for really long time. And and when you mentioned Beanie Man, I remember like thinking like when I was little, like, oh my God, what a fun song to dance to, right? Mm-hmm. And then like you grow up and
girl,
like, I found out what that song was about. I actually talked about this on another episode in one of our Que Te Pica segments. And like I told the boys, I was like, yeah, it's literally like really fucking aggressive.
Oh,
and like
it's terrible.
It's evil. Like it's
yeah,
evil
it's like
song.
It's like find the shoot them, kill them, I'm gonna stomp on them. It's like all of that
and
stuff.
Like
it's
hang
crazy.
Him they yeah, even hang say him. Like it's they hang crazy. Him and I'm like what the fuck. And,
yeah,
and a lot
so
of people
fucking...
you know that shit comes on in a club in Miami. I'm from Miami and like everybody's like woo, popping bottles and like fucking like getting fucked up and then
sure.
I'm like oh I'm like when I got into like my like maybe like my mid-20s I like found out and I was like I feel like a monster, but obviously like what the fuck do I know, I was just booty dancing to it.
Oh no, for sure. And you know, honestly, it's like the equivalent of back when let's flashback to 3-4 years ago when Bodak Yellow by Cardi B was super popular, you know what I mean? I remember when I was before Drag Race just working at the club and doing my gig, and that at like 2 o'clock in the morning Bodak Yellow comes on, everyone is drunk and crazy and just in the middle of the dance while jumping up, and all the part where Cardi B has a lot of niggas in her song. I don't know if I can say this.
You can say it. We won't.
Okay, great. pussy, dick, nigga. Anyway,
yes. I say so, pussy a lot, so please.
Okay.
Help me balance it. I'm the cochina.
So I remember being on the, and like all these people, you know, white, black, Asian, whatever, is on the dance floor, and just, and anytime that part comes on and in the club, everyone, you can feel it in the room. Everyone's like, I can't say it, but it's like that weird vibe, and I kind of feel that with reggae too. Like, because I want to dance to that and I want to live with it. But here, knowing how problematic and how terrible the lyrics are, I'm like, oh, that's a little cringe. So I'm happy to make a queer reggae song.
It's fantastic. Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you.
Congratulations, excuse me.
Thank you. And we filmed it in Malibu. And when I put the teaser on Instagram, everyone was like, oh my God, because I did put the location as Montego Bay, Jamaica. And everyone was like, oh my God,
movie magic.
Movie magic, you know what I mean? But I think we filmed it right in Malibu, and it was my first time being in Malibu as I just moved to LA. And it was just really dope to film it all here in LA and not have to travel to get that vibe, you know?
Oh, nice. When did you guys, were you guys filming during like pandemic, or was this like pre-pandemic and you were holding off?
No, this was, we filmed it May 3rd, 2021. Oh, wow. So kind of, people say the pandemic is nearing towards the end and we're all seeing the beautiful light at the end of the tunnel, but it was towards the end. So the original ideas we had for it, like, I wanted a stereotypical, like, Brooklyn, like, hot reggae basement party, like, that sweaty vibe. But I was like,
Rihanna, video. I know exactly what Raisa, you're talking about.
You're my girl. Yes, literally. You know that, exactly.
You know what that video reminds me of, too? What? My Anastasia Dewey spray. I don't know if you love that. I'm sorry, like, not to interrupt. But that is what I feel like her in that video when I do it. I'm like,
for sure.
God, I'm so Dewey and Miss
for
Rihanna.
For sure.
But sorry, go on, please.
No. That was just the original idea. But with COVID and stuff, we were like, probably not a smart idea. And can you imagine if I did a casting call, everyone showed up? Bitch, I will be canceled the house on Boots, which I've been canceled so many times at this point. I'm like, sure, go ahead. Do it again. Sure. You know what I mean? With cancel culture and everything. But, and also with Drag Race, girl, you post one thing. Like, I love frogs and everything, and they'll be like, well, Monet, what about all the other amphibians? How dare you like only frogs? Amphibian, it's like, oh my God.
All
like,
amphibians matter, Monet.
You literally, they were like, what about tadpoles, Monet? Really? You fucking cunt. I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. I like tadpoles too. So, you know, so I didn't want to go through any type of anything by having a whole bunch of people in one space sweaty for a video. I was like, this was a better idea. And I like it anyway.
But it's beautiful. And also, like, every single person on the podcast, us two included and the other boy, like, we've all been filming since, like, I think maybe March stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's safe as long as people are doing it safely. And it's like, you know, and it's like, you know, what a great decision to do that and, like, you know, be conscious about it. But like, thank God that soon that won't be that big of like an issue, because I totally, like, I get the cancel culture thing, because like so many people were just like going crazy on some things that they didn't even know. I'm like, how are you gonna like cancel this? You don't even know like what process, like,
exactly. That
they, like, this is like, whatever, I don't know, Paramount or MGM, whatever the fuck. Exactly. Like, you don't think they have money like to take care of this?
For COVID testing and all the things and PPP, like, it's so crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Y'all know.
I have a question, since you brought up cancel culture, which I think is like something that's, you know, it's a big thing. And I think especially like for like anybody POC, it hits us differently. Because I do feel personally that like I feel like when you're POC and you get canceled for like these, it feels like it's like any little thing where like, as like, I do feel like I see like a lot of other like white people like continuing to just like, you know what I mean? Get away with it. And then I don't know.
Tadpoles only posting. Yeah.
But like, I don't know, I guess.
Privilege.
If you wanted to like, I don't know, maybe unpack that a little bit more, how you feel about this cancel culture, you know, as.
Cancel culture is so interesting, and like, I just feel also how it pertains to people to people of color and then white folk is like, for example, about on our podcast on Sipping Watchery, we did a thing where we would review episodes of Drag Race, and it was like anytime we spoke about like the white queens like Rosé or Utica, he said we didn't like their looks. It became like, how dare you? Like, it was just such a different reaction than when we said about other people. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's like one part of it. But also, cancel culture as a whole is just so interesting, right? Because it's like you're saying, like, sometimes people cancel you, they don't even know the full story. And honestly, sometimes it's more so, to me, in what I've experienced, what I see, is more so virtue signaling. Is like, I'm going to cancel this person to look like I'm doing the right thing. And everyone thinks that I'm like this self-righteous person. I'm like, no one, to ask everyone to strive for sainthood is literally impossible. Mm-hmm. No one is fucking perfect. No one is a saint. Mm-hmm. So when you are just trying to cancel people so you look like you're this great, nice, sweet person, when in fact, it's like in the high height of Black Lives Matter last year, when we saw all these people put in black squares, all these corporations put in black squares and stuff like that, when it comes to find out they're still contributing to politicians who have lots of anti-black sentiments, who have who are for deportation, all this stuff, is like, it's like, so you're putting a black fucking square, it doesn't mean anything. So you're trying to cancel this person, trying to prove that you're righteous, it means literally nothing, because you're doing it for everyone to make it seem like you're this righteous person, which, bitch, you ain't.
I feel that.
Yeah. It's so hard. Like, you want, like, of course, the corporations, like, putting out a face, like, it's so, but I mean, we see it with Pride every year, too.
Well, I was about to say Pride Month. Yeah.
Yeah. Happy Pride Month. Can we drink Absolute Vodka? I don't know anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know.
That's the one that they keep using as an example. And I'm like, what the fuck did Absolute Vodka do? I need to, like, Google it for real. What, number one. And
I don't know what they did.
I think it would be really funny if, like, honestly, like, they barely did anything, because it's like, that's the example they keep using.
Every year.
I see Absolute everywhere lately. And I'm like, I don't even really like to drink it at all, but what's the deal?
Like, I'm like, I like tequila, so, like, fuck vodka.
Yeah. 2021 and 2020 was definitely a tequila song.
All right, it's like, can I have like Kendall Jenner to, like, save me with her tequila, please, girl?
Listen, don't even get us started with that.
Girl.
And it's like, it's so unfortunate, because there's so many times that I, like, really want to fucking love the Kardashians, I like how they dress sometimes and all these things. But then I'm like, no, you're literally taking the bodies of black women and Latina women and making them. And that's fine. Like, thank you. But, like, bitch, you better fucking stop appropriating our shit.
Oh, girl, it's wild. And honestly, at this point, it's like, obviously they see all this stuff, but they keep on perpetuating the same behavior.
Yeah.
So at some point it's like, I feel like they just, they do it on purpose, or they like the attention, because as the saying goes, all publicity, what is it? There's
all publicity is good publicity.
Hey, right. So yeah. I was like, I guess, and it keeps people talking about them. And at this point, they just live for it, honestly.
For sure. Cause we all know how many people had to check off
exactly.
these things.
Exactly.
And I'm like, please, come on.
Exactly. You know, Aisha, the PA, was on set like, girl, I don't know if y'all should do this. Yeah. And they were like, Aisha, we got it. Thanks, babe. Take your
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly. But
so, for sure.
You mentioned you have a podcast with Bob, the drag queen, right? And you also have a podcast with Lady Bunny?
Girl, the old ass fucking gatekeeper of hell, Lady Bunny. Yes, we have a podcast together.
Self-titled, right? Old ass gatekeeper of hell. Okay.
we have Ebony and Irony podcast as well, which we started back in January. And it's really fun. And that relationship works because Bunny is obviously from an older school of drag, and she just thinks about things so differently. And also, Lady Bunny is just so fucking funny. Mm-hmm. And thank you. And we invite people, a lot of people from the old school. Like, we had, like, Billy Beyond, which a lot of people may not know him, but he was a really big fashion model for Halston. I mean, not for Halston specifically, but he was, like, back in, like, the 80s and 70s, he, like, really was walking runways with Naomi, oh, wow. I almost said Naomi Smalls, Naomi Campbell, all the old supermodels. He was right up there with them, because he had this, like, beautiful face. And so it's interesting to hear his aspects of, because he came from Club Kid and how he made Club Kid become fashion and all that stuff. And we have, like, Linda Simpson, we had Michael Musso, all these, like, old
Michael,
this
Musso?
Sounds so shady.
Did you say Michael Musso?
Come on. Yeah, all of these, like, relics in, like, the queer community that have
oh my god. But
I mean, like, Joey Arias, like, all these people who, like, I mean, like, Joey Arias was telling a story how she was at, I mean, she, like, she would have parties at her New York City apartment in the Lower East Side, and, like, Basquiat and Naomi Klaus, they would just be, like, on her, like, couch, like, fucking, and, like, you know what I mean? It's just, like, these, like, crazy stories of, like, you know what I mean? So it's, like, so nice to hear, and, like, I was, like, one day, will, like, that be us? Of, like, oh, my God, like, Raisa, Tony, and Monique Shames, like, they have, like, this, like, you know what I mean? Like, who knows? It's just so cool to hear all of these, like, old stories and how they think of what about this new queer culture and all that. It's just this beautiful intersection. I really enjoy it.
it's so evolving too. I feel like I haven't watched, but I do know the culture, and I do, like, I have gone to drag shows. I have friends that do drag. Tony does drag.
You only go live. You will not only, you'll see Drag Race when you go to set.
I do do love it live. There's just something about the live, and like just seeing, like, it's just like you're the beautiful makeup and like the wigs. Yeah. And like, it's so fucking, like, I love it. It's beautiful. Like I said, like I have one of like my three of my best friends, they all do drag, and like, I know the fucking work that they put into. And for a fucking 5-minute audition in the middle of a pandemic cell or whatever that is, like, it's a 5-hour like whole pro, and like, I respect like the fuck out of everybody that does drag and like goes hard on that shit, because I'm wearing moisturizer and like vitamin C serum, and that's like what I do. I barely put on makeup because I just don't know how to.
Well, girl, but you look stunning, honey. That's these are kind of jeans that you need to pass down to some kids, girl. That's great.
We were just talking about kids before you came on.
Oh my God, it looks great. Your skin is fucking everything.
Oh my God, thank you.
Monet wants you to have kids, right? All
right, I'll tell my boyfriend, Alejandro, escucha. He doesn't listen to this podcast, but his friends do, and they'll be like, oh, okay, we'll talk. I'm just kidding.
While we're into drag culture and queer life, you have a background in opera singing, right?
I went to undergrad. Wow. Yeah, for opera music. Yeah.
Bass, wow. I imagine.
Oh, yes. All right, Tony.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I've heard music.
Did that predate your drag? Like, how did you discover drag?
So I went to Westminster Choir College, which is the music school in Princeton, and I did that, and they had this thing called a drag ball, and it was for the freshmen and the sophomores to, like, they were like, we get dressed up in drag, and a drag queen would come in, and she would like host a show, and we would like compete to like win like Miss Drag Ball, like 2009, 2010, whatever it was. And so my freshman year, I'm like, I don't really like this drag thing, but I guess I'll do it. Meanwhile, inside, I'm like, oh my God, I get to get in drag. This is so fun. So I went to like Target, and I got some clothes, and I went to like Payless, and I got some heels that were like a size too small, but I stuffed my fucking hoof. Girl, I stuffed my size 13 hoof into a size 11 shoe. And I do the show, and the drag queen, she was amazing. She was stunning. And then years later, I realized it was Peppermint. Peppermint was the drag queen.
Oh my God.
Who did it. Yeah. So Peppermint like was my first like experience in drag, and cut to, she did Drag Race season 9. And now she's this amazing trans icon and trailblazer and an amazing person. But Peppermint was my gateway into drag. But the opera came first, then the drag. Okay. You know, that was my journey.
I love that. Have you done drag and like sung like legit like opera and stuff? Or like, have you added that into
Girl, I have not had a voice lesson since I graduated in 2012. So I'm like, things I do not need to be doing is singing opera live and sounding a mess. And having that one, like, especially in New York City, like that one fag in the front row who is like the director probably of the Metropolitan Opera. He's like, not this raggedy bitch.
Hell, yeah, he's like, this 66th Street, Lincoln Center.
Exactly. You know what I mean? So I was like, maybe I shouldn't. So, but I have not. I was talking to my friend recently who was like a big conductor in New York. And I was like, I want to start taking voice lessons again. And he was like, when's the last time you had a voice lesson? I was like, girl, when I graduated in 2012. He was like, yeah, you probably shouldn't. And I was like, oh,
really?
Oh,
yeah. Well, because I mean, opera is one of those things, like because people don't forget, like, your voice, your vocal cords, they're literally two muscles that are the size of like a dime.
Yeah.
And it's like, when you don't, like, they're just like anyone else who hasn't like trained or worked out in 10, what? No, my God. Almost about to be 10 years. It's like, they have not flexed. They have not like done the things that you would do. You know, so it will take a while to like really train, and it's a lot of money. Voice teachers are expensive. I remember back in 2012, they were like $175 for an hour. Like, only imagine what they are now. Probably like $250 an hour. And it's probably something I'll probably do for like a month, and I'll probably get too busy with work and stuff. And it would just,
Yeah, it's not like a payoff.
So maybe that. one day when I'm 40 and washed up and dry with no more reggae music, I'll take an offer again.
And some young thing will be hosting a podcast with you.
Exactly. Tony, I'm going to be young forever. How dare you?
In this imaginary future world where you're
40. dystopian, yeah.
So before we started the podcast, I was bothering you saying that I wanted all the hot tea, but I mean, I feel like might as well just ask, is there any like hot tea, anything that like, you know, is going on right now that you can talk about, anything exciting?
Not in my life. I mean, no drama right now for me. I mean, I'm still in LA trying to find a dude to date me and fuck me for a year or so, but that's
I was going to ask if you were single.
I am perpetually single.
Do you have a type? Is there anything? I know that's a hard question because I know.
Oh, no, it's not hard at all. Oh, baby, I have the list.
You do? Okay, mira, dale, give us a list because you never know.
You have it for our listeners. Is an action item.
Monet just pulled out like the old school scroll and it's rolling. It's still rolling. It's still fucking rolling out.
No, my type. Okay, my type is super simple. One is tall. I like someone tall. Like, you got to be at least 6'2" to get on this ride. That's number one. Ooh. And number two, I like ambition. I've dated people in the past, and the ones who weren't like. Guys who aren't ambitious, like, and I don't care what your job is. I don't care if you are a barista at Starbucks or you're driving Uber or you are a CEO of a Fortune 500 company, whatever it is.
Like, Absolute Vodka, like, what have you.
Yeah. Kylie Jenner tequila, wherever you're working, I don't care. But I just, you have to be super ambitious. And like, and to me, that's so sexy. Like, someone who like really is living, like loves going to work and works really hard at their job and is really passionate about it. I find that to be really attractive. Mm-hmm. So height, ambition, and also nice hands.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Like nice clean under nails.
Yes, girl. If you got crust under your nails and then you try to stick that somewhere else.
Don't put that in none of my holes.
Girl, in nothing. All right. Mm-mm. That and like, and also I just feel like I can tell a lot about a guy by the way they keep their hands.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That is I love that you said that because that's kind of something that like I say too. And like, I'm like, oh my God, thank God almost everybody. I'm like, it's short. And I'm like, well, there's some guys, they be having these long nails too. And they're like rusty. Oh, and I'm like, listen, if you have your one little pinky Coke nail, that's fine. Do you. But like, what about the other four? I say, like, come on, take care of the other ones. Let the other ones stay crusty. That's fine. But then, you know, you could do things with the other four.
when I had the talk show Exchange Rate, Nick Lachey was a guest and he has really nice hands.
Oh.
Yeah, Nick Lachey has really nice hands. Okay. I was like,
98 degrees. Girl, 98 degrees.
Honey, he had my pussy on 90 degrees when he been saying. I was like, but he also, Nick Lachey was so weird. So it was that day. I happened to have two guests, and our weirdly enough, Lady Bunny was the guest. And before his PR told our people, they were like, he absolutely, like, we, like, you know, asked, like, is there anything he doesn't want us to talk about? He was like, she's like, absolutely nothing about Jessica Simpson. Please do not bring up Jessica Simpson at all. Don't mention her, et cetera, et cetera. So we used to do these pre-show pictures with me and the guests. And it's like, it says Lady Bunny, Nick in the middle and myself on the other side of him. We're posing, blah, and Lady Bunny leans into him. She goes, "Oh, you're sandwiched between two drag queens right now. You must be missing Jessica so hard." Picture we finish. I start the show and I just see, because the studio was set up very TRL, I just see Nick's like head bobbing out and he just leaves and he doesn't do the interview because he was...
Wait, he didn't do it? Shut up.
Girl, he left. Oh, he left. The Lady Bunny made me lose Nick Lachey.
Wow. What up? What up? I don't know.
Girl, I'm like, you listen. We're right there. I'm like, girl, really?
This is Hollywood. Look, people are going to fuck with you. And especially like, you know, no shade, but like, you were in a fucking boy band in the 90s and you dated a hot babe and there was drama. Like, I'm sorry. Like, everything else is just you hosting shows. Like, make your money, continue your whatever career is, but like that's part of your life. Like, yeah. it is what it is. Like, it's
I mean, I guess I should say his publicist said, oh, he was late for something else. I'm like, girl, he wasn't late for nothing. He left because that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you went, hey, Lady Bunny, do you want to start a show together?
I was like, Bunny, I love that.
Oh, my God. Lady Bunny and Bad Bunny need to hang out. Have you guys talked about that?
Imagine that would honestly be kind of fierce.
Oh, my God. That would be amazing.
I mean, Bad Bunny is like, that's my Monet. That's my crush. I literally I'm having a birthday, a pool party this Saturday, and it's literally Bad Bunny themed. And like, I'm living for this. And I think everybody else is living for this. And I'm just like, I love him. And that, so when you said Lady Bunny, I was like, oh my God, wait, Lady Bunny, does she know Bad Bunny? Are they related? What's going on?
No. She's to be fair, I think Lady Bunny came before the Bad Bunny.
Yes. No, I think so too.
But I mean, she's been here since Prohibition. So it's been here for a while.
I'm moving that podcast to the top of my must listen list.
Oh my gosh. I'm so happy that I asked you for hot goss and this Nick story. I'm like, I don't even like, so honestly, happy. I love to surprise myself.
Oh my God, I have so many stories from that fucking talk show. It was like so wild. So all these celebrities. Celebrities are wild. They're so wild.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. I mean.
Yeah.
One day, Ryza. We'll be just like Nick Lachey.
Yeah. One day I'll be in between two drag queens and it'll be the best day of my life.
I do want to shout out something else.
Yes.
You are, and among your titles, you inspired the first drag superhero.
Oh my God.
Yes. Sina Grace, right?
Yeah. They're calling her Dark Veil is her X-Men name.
Okay.
That is so cool.
Isn't that amazing?
She's a X-Men, and she's in the X-Men multiverse, or I don't know how to, there's the DC cinematic universe, so many things. Anyway, she's an X-Men, and she's a drag queen, and she's inspired by myself, Shea Coulee, and Dax! Exclamation point.
Oh.
She's like this like beautiful, interesting, and I would say she's like 90% Monet.
I'm kidding.
I'm kidding. She's equal.
Look at Monet staying humble on the SAP pod. Yes.
No. She really is made up to all of us. And she's so nondescript. And she's just a beautiful black drag queen with her like clack bands. And it's honestly, she's probably mainly inspired by Dax because Dax is a huge, Dax is really into cosplay and superhero stuff. So yeah. But yeah, I am in the mix at some point. Maybe it's her huge size 14 feet. Who knows? But I'm a part of the picture.
I love that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm having too much fun. I don't want this interview to end. But Monet is booked and busy.
but not blessed.
That's up to you to choose if you want to be blessed. I will never tell anybody. No, I'm just kidding. I don't want to get canceled. No, I'm just kidding. Monet, thank you so much again for being with us. This was so much fun. I'm so happy I got to know you. Now I just want to hang out with you in real life.
Right.
Now that I know you're in LA, what is popping? What do you want to plug? Give us your handles and everything before we go.
Yeah, I'm at Monet Exchange, M-O-N-E-T, the letter X, the word change, on all social media platforms. And because if anyone stole it, I bullied them to give me my shit back. And by bullied, I would just contact it. This is on TikTok. I went because I was so late to the TikTok game, which I still don't even post on there. But I was going to like put my name and someone was already Monet Exchange and they were like posting like taking all of my like videos I would post in my stories on Instagram and put it as their like, and like, it was weird. Anyway, and TikTok, when they like grabbed me verified and stuff, they're like, do you want this name back? I was like, well, I don't want to like, and they were like, no, we can. I was like, no, I should. I was like, no, give it. Get it from them. Sue them.
Say your name.
So I'm Monet Exchange across everything. And make sure you guys are listening to Sibling Rivalry, which is just a podcast of me and Bob the Drag Queen literally arguing for an hour.
Oh my God.
Ebony and Irony. And Love Like This. Make sure you're buying and streaming.
Yes.
Buy and stream. Because streaming is free. Because you're already doing that. But buy it too. So that way it goes up, up and up and up and hopefully gets stuck. You know what I mean?
You never knew love like this.
Tony,
I love it so much.
Tony, can we have you on the remix?
Please. Yes.
Okay.
Perfect. Okay, and I'll just booty dance.
Oh my God, we would love that.
Listen, I'll give you my Cuban booty for free.
I'm gonna put that big red afro I have in there. Very, very, very Celia. And I'll give that to you. Thank you for that.
Oh my God, can I say something? I'm freaking out, not freaking out, but like, so sometimes I do write like little things, but like honestly, I was having so much fun that I didn't ask any of the questions that I wrote down. And one of my questions, I don't know if you can see, curly, I want you to see, it says curly, curly red hair. Like, I literally wanted to ask you about that. And I was going to say, it reminded me of Celia Cruz.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I love Celia. She's one of my favorite artists of all time.
Yes.
Oh.
I love Celia.
I'm going to DM you a picture after this podcast of me and Celia when I was little. You're going to freak out.
I'm so jealous. Also, right, we're both Cuban, and Raisa also has a picture with Gloria Estefan. Is that like, come?
My daddy was in the biz a little bit.
That's so dope. Yeah. You and Celia Cruz, that's so fierce.
It's very cool. Very iconic for me. Yes. Okay, awesome. And you could follow us at Spanish Aquí Presents on IG and Spanish Aquí on Twitter. You could follow Oscar at Aussie Mo on Instagram and Twitter. And you can follow me at Raisa Licea on Instagram and Twitter.
You can follow Carlos Santos. And of course, it's Carlos. You can follow me at Nick LaGay. Just kidding. I'm at Barbafella, which is my drag persona. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually at the Tony Roderick.
My God, Barbafella. I fucking love that.
She's a hot mess. You gotta come
when UCB shows start again. Oscar, our other co-host, is a host of UCB Bad Drag, and it's the number one comedy show at Upright Citizens Brigade. You need to come. Oscar hosts it and performs, and we'll get you tickets. Like, you're coming, and
I'm fucking coming. I've never been to UCB, and I've heard, obviously, a lot of the people I would interview, they talk about UCB and stuff like that. I'm like, oh my God, I want to go. I'm fucking coming. Oh, literally coming.
Yes. Okay. It's done. Dale. Spanish Aquí Presents is an Earwolf production, executive produced by me, Raisa, Tony, Carlos, and Oscar. It's engineered by Jordan Duffy and produced by Anita Flores.
You can follow us on social media on Instagram at Spanish Aquí Presents and Spanish Aquí on Twitter.
Find our latest merch at potswag.com and especially look out for the Spanish Aquí Presents enamel pin set featuring all of our beautiful faces.
Yeah, and help us get the word out by telling a friend about the show today.
Make sure to rate and review Spanish Aquí Presents and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen.
Want more Spanish Aquí Presents? Find our full archive and ad-free episodes on Stitcher Premium. Use promo code SAP for a 1-month free trial at stitcher.com/premium.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.